Mark can make pretty much anybody sound good right there. So I don't. We're dismissed now. We can go. No. Let's see. My family. I am the oldest of 15 siblings. I'm the only white kid in my family. Everybody else has adopted. The joke going around my family is that my mom had me and was like, you know what, we don't want any more like you, so we're going to adopt from here out. let's see. Side note about DCC. I was in Saltines with my freshman year roommate, who's an amazing guy, who's a pastor in the area. I loved him so much that I stole his girlfriend and eventually married her, so that's fun. That's awesome. My wife's gonna punch me in the face. I wouldn't say the Holy Spirit is funny, but the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways, and some of the things that Mark said have kind of pushed me to go in a different direction than what I was planning. Growing up at the age of 13, my parents divorced. My dad walked out 2 days after Christmas, and my mom said, hey, you know what? You're the man of the house, and so you have to make sure that you don't call me, because she worked nights, and because if you do, then I'm going to get fired, and we will get kicked out of our house. And as 13, that was scary. It was at that point, when that door shut, when that door locked, that I said, you know what, God, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, I need you to be real right now. And it was from that point on that I saw God be real in my life. The truth about my life is that I have run every direction possible to not do what God wants. And yet, He has been faithful to me. He has loved me through everything that I've done, every mistake that I've made. And the thing I love about Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things I love, but one of the things is that Jesus Christ didn't come to establish a passive world religion. That Jesus Christ came to establish a movement and a growing kingdom that would change the world. And I feel like a lot of times as Christians, as the church, we get so satisfied with being in a building, with being in a location, with being here and located and having nice carpet and having the best sound system and all these different things that we forget that Jesus Christ didn't call us to have those things. Jesus Christ called us to change the world. And I got very anxious about coming to speak to you guys because I look at college students, especially you guys, I look at you as this amazing army who has the potential to both be in the adult, like working world. You can relate to people that are old like me, and you can relate to people who are much younger than you because you have the capacity to understand what it's going to take to be in the working world, but you haven't forgotten what it was like to be young. And so I love the opportunity to come here because you guys are unique in your place in life. And so I wrestled with exactly what I was going to talk about, but what I centered on was this idea of saying that Christianity is not simply a religion, that Christianity is a movement and is calling us to be active and proactive. So you guys know the story. You know the story of Esther. She was essentially adopted by Mordecai and raised by him. And then the king at that time fires his queen. I'm not nervous at all. Kicks his queen to the curb for various reasons. And they go through this beauty contest and she wins. An interesting thing about the book of Esther is that it never overtly mentions God, like it never outright mentions God, right? But throughout the entire book, we see God moving. We see God moving in circumstances. We see God moving in Esther's life. We see how she is one out of hundreds of thousands of women who is chosen to be queen. We see that God moves in the circumstances there. We see that with Haman coming to power, who is kind of the evil person in the story. We see how when he comes to power and plans evil, that we see she's positioned to be able to take defense for to be able to defend her people. And so throughout this story, we see her presented with different life circumstances, and we see Haman, like I said, come to power, and we see him setting against the Jews because Mordecai didn't show him the respect that he wanted, and we see all these different things happen, and it comes down to that key moment in her life where her guardian, Mordecai, says, you know what, if you don't do something, God will do something, right? If you don't do something, God will do something in this situation. So maybe you have been raised to the moment where you are for such a time as this. Maybe you have been put in the circumstances where you are exactly for such a time as this. And that statement always resonates with me because I think, you know what? It's been an interesting ride. I've been doing ministry now for 13 years. I am really old. I've been doing ministry for 13 years now, and I look at a lot of times where I'm like, well, God, you weren't doing anything there. God, you didn't do anything here. God, you didn't, why didn't this happen? And as I get older, I begin to see life kind of latch on. You know, we just had our first son. We adopted him about a year, he's 15 months old, so about a year and a half ago. And so I see myself more worried about his future, and I see myself worried about, I pretty much hate my house because the foundation is moving, which is awesome. And so I see myself worried about the cracks in my walls, and I see myself worried about the fact that I went to start my lawnmower last week, and I went to start it, and the cord just pulled off in my hand. That's awesome. And so I see myself getting bogged down with these daily things and worried about how in the office, like, I have a window in my office, which is sounds great, except it's a window to the hallway, and that means every person that walks by waves at me, and I'm like, hey. But the problem with me is, if you've had me in class, you know that I'm probably not diagnosed ADD, but I'm pretty close, right? Like right now, if somebody was like to take a picture in a flash, I'd be like, hey, flash. And so I find myself, like in the office, I find myself getting distracted by all these little things and life, and the thing I have to come back to is to realize that no matter what's going on, whether my lawnmower's not starting, whether the cracks in my walls continue to get bigger, or whatever, that God has put me in a place at a time for his purpose. And that's something that I always have to come back to. I was talking to Professor Hardy's wife yesterday, Cindy, because she is an amazing administrative assistant at Valley View Christian Church on Marsh Lane, who we would love to have each one of you come visit us and volunteer in our ministries. But I was talking to her yesterday, and I was like, you know, what I really want to get across is that the place where you guys are is unique because you don't have a lot of the commitments that you'll have later in life. And you don't have a lot of the commitments that you had when you were younger in life. That this is a unique time for you, that you can set out and focus on what it is that God has for you. And so for me, when I look at the story of Esther, I see this opportunity to step up and be who God's calling us to be in those everyday moments. You know, it wasn't... In Esther's case, it was this like intense plan, like this tense place. But it happened over the course of years. And so it was, would she do what she needed to do on this day? And would she do what she needed to do on this day? And would she do what she needed to do on that day? You know? And so my first challenge to you guys is, you know, the place where you are, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, wherever it is, what is it that God's called you there for? The second thing I was worried's a weird word, but I was kind of like nervous because I was like, I bet Hinton will never ask me to come back again, so I better cram everything that I want to say into one like message. And the Esther one went faster than I thought, so that's good. So you get a lot more. The other thing is right now, you're figuring out a lot of who you want to be. You're figuring out a lot of who you want to be in life. You know, some of you came to DCC to play basketball or to play baseball, or some of you came because you want to be the next Chris Tomlin or or Louis Giglio, and now you're realizing that you can't sing and you're afraid to talk in front of people, and so so you're realizing maybe your dreams aren't going to work out. The apostles, I could go each one of them, because each one of them I'm like, oh, I'm that guy. I'm Peter here, and I'm James here, and I'm Judas here. The thing about the apostles that I love is that each one of them, to a certain degree, had no idea like who they were, you know. And then they decide for whatever reason to follow Jesus, right? And I think about the call to follow Jesus all the time, because it's one of those where I'm like, I want my students in the student ministry that I work in at Valley View Christian Church, where you all can attend and volunteer. This way I'm not taking a day off to be here, because I'm advertising for church. I want my students to realize that God has a purpose and a plan for them. And we look at in the lives of the apostles that he takes guys that essentially are bumbling idiots, right? And takes them and molds them and shapes them to be men who would shape history. And so when you're coming in here at DCC, I want to challenge you to say, you know what, explore different options. You know, volunteer maybe in a student ministry, volunteer in a children's ministry, go work with Gary Hardy downtown, go find different kinds of churches that you want to go to, some that sing hymns and some that are super modern. Go and explore. You know what, take as many hailing classes as you can, because you probably won't get a good grade, but you know what, you're going to learn a whole lot. You know, I mean, stretch your mind. And the reality is, because right now, you have the opportunity to figure out where it is that God wants to take you. You know, you have the freedom to be able to say, is God going to use me in the church? Is God going to use me in the business world? Where is God going to use me? You know, the baseball team, you know, is God going to use me in the major leagues? Because the Cardinals sure could use you. And man, I love the Cardinals, but they don't love me. And so, I mean, where is it that God's going to use you? And then I'm going much faster than what I thought I was going to do. And then last, and this is, I say that, and then it's probably going to be 15 minutes from now. In the last 5 months, I didn't realize I was going to be this raw, but that's okay. In the last 5 months, man, my world has been shaken. A little bit about my wife and I. We've been married, I'm going to get this wrong. We've been married 11 years, almost in November. Thank you, Joshua. That's why I love you, buddy. We've been married 11 years in November, like 2 weeks. And for about 7 of that, we really wanted to have a kid. We tried to have a kid and went to doctors and got tested and all the different things, and the doctors couldn't tell us anything, man. They couldn't tell us, like, why we couldn't get pregnant. And it was one of those things where they're like, you should be pregnant. And we're like, we're not. Thanks for the help. And meanwhile, like, if you were friends with us, like if you hung out with us at all, you were definitely going to get pregnant, because it was one of those things where every one of our best friends had kids, right? Kara's sister had like 2 kids in that time. Kara's best friend had like 3 kids in this time, right? And so it was one where we're like, God, we're in ministry and we're doing what you want us to do. And we were willing to pack up and travel to whatever ministry he had for us, right? And we just couldn't figure it out. And so we got on the adoption list, and it took several years for us to get him. But, man, my son Isaiah, he is a stud. He is blessed to be adopted, because he, knowing my luck, he would look like me and not my amazingly beautiful wife. So it's good that he's adopted because he is a very handsome little guy. And so we were like, you know what? That was God's plan. It was God's plan, not that we would birth a child, that we would adopt a child, right? And so we have Isaiah, and I brag about him all the time, and I love him. About six and a half months ago, one day, my wife comes to me and wakes me up and says, "I'm pregnant." And I was like, "What?" She goes, "I'm pregnant." And I was like, "No way." And she goes, "No, really, I am." And I was like, "All right." And it took, yeah, it took a minute for that to sink in, because the reality was we had given up on that dream. We had given up on the dream of having our own kid, like birthing a child, because let me tell you, and I phrased that totally wrong, because Isaiah is our kid, but birthing a child, okay? And we were just like, you know what, we are in such a blessed place. And so we wanted to tell everybody. You know, when something big happens, you want to tell everybody. And so we held off and held off and held off and held off. And then, so we're like, Mother's Day is coming, and it's a few weeks out, and everything's looking good. So on Mother's Day, we were like, bam, that is it. We're going to post it. It's going to be Facebook official. We're going to tell everybody that we're pregnant. And so we did this, like, I thought it was kind of dumb, but my wife loved it. This picture. And it was the perfect picture describing, like, us having a kid, and it had Isaiah in it and had me, like, giving thumbs up, and it was so cool. And so we posted that on Sunday, and we went to church, and everybody's like, "Hey, congratulations, you're awesome." And we were like, "Yes, we are awesome. It's Mother's Day, and we're pregnant, and we have Isaiah, and life is perfect." The next day, we're actually going to go to a Frisco Rough Riders game, and Kara's like, you know, I'm just not feeling well. And so we went to the emergency room, and about 9:15, they told us that we had lost the baby. And the funny thing, I mean, Mark said it a little bit, there's been a lot of weird things that have happened in my life, like a lot of hard things. And this one hit me super hard, because it was one of those where we had given up on that dream, and then it was like God allowed that dream to, like, come back into our lives, and then he took it away again. And the thing about that was that I was really mad at God. I was really mad at God because I said, you know what? I've dedicated my job to you. You know what? When things have been weird at churches, I've done what you've wanted me to do instead of what was easy. You know, I was mad at God, and I was mad because it kind of had set my wife up to be so brokenhearted. And I began to distance myself on a personal level from God because I was just angry at him. And the thing about the last 6 months is that, man, God has just come calling. I mean, he has just stayed on me and stayed on me and stayed on me. And the biggest lesson that I can tell you, whether you are going to be a professional athlete or you're going to be in the business world or you're going to work in the church, is that, you know what? Guard your personal relationship with God above all. Above your business success, above how many numbers you'll have in your church, above whatever it is that you do, guard your relationship with God. Because in those tough times, in those dark times, it's going to be that relationship that strengthens you and gets you through. And the more I look at people in Scripture, the more I look at Christians throughout history, is that if we're truly following Jesus Christ, our life is not going to be easy, that things are going to come against us, that things are going to test our faith, that things are going to push us and prod us and do everything we can to get us to let go of what God's calling us to. And it is that relationship with him that will sustain you. It's that relationship with him that will help you stand when things are dark. I love DCC. Mark alluded to it, and or no, he didn't allude to it. He said it. I was in Saltines for 5 years, and then I came to DCC for a year, and then left for 2 years, and then decided, you know what, DCC is just in my blood, and I came back and graduated. You are in an amazing place. Things will not always work the way that you want them to work. But you know what? God has put you in the place where you are right now for a reason. God will take who you are, your dreams and your flaws and your amazing abilities and your mess ups. And if you dedicate that to Him, He will use you to change the world in ways that you can't even imagine. And more than anything, cling to Him. Whether that means reading books of the Bible every day, or that means reading a chapter a day, or that means just getting away and spending time with Him, cling to Him in your personal relationship. I tell my students all the time, you know what? God didn't create you to simply exist. God created you to change the world. I believe in you. If there's anything I can ever do for you, please don't hesitate to look me up. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you.